All right, so I think you might agree that since you were little, that we've been creating associations with other people, right? By that, I mean to say that each of us can think of one or many friends that we've had. Maybe it's our family, maybe it's our sisters, maybe it's friends and that we've met all along the way. As you, some of you might know, I have a big family. I have lots of sisters. And I can tell you that my closest sisters are the ones that I can have a relationship with Christ with. I have there's eight sisters, and it's amazing how God does that. So we have that. My girls are my friends, and many of you, so I appreciate that. Actually, women thrive, right, on relationships. We spend a lot of energy, and we spend a lot of time in relationships, right? It's special, you know? We can initiate conversations. We can find special interest. We can enjoy one another's company, but... And we can actually have a listening ear, but the question is, do we know how to move from a basic general relationship, small talk, to intimacy? And we're not talking about secrets or even gossip, right? Do we look to build one another up in Christ? That's the question, you know? That should be our goal. And I've had friends, and I enjoy spending time with them. We talk, and we laugh, and we have fun. But those that don't know Christ at the end of the day don't encourage me in Christ and leave me actually feeling stagnant and unfruitful. And if I haven't shared my love with Christ with them, really what's happened is I failed them. So can you imagine having that kind of biblical relationship and friendship that's based on a commitment of loyalty, service, truth, and ultimately pointing each other to Christ? That really should be our goal. My best friends, and I look around and I see many of you, have been the ones that have encouraged me and challenged me to grow in my faith. And those are the ones that care about my spiritual growth. So I want to be that friend. I really do. So if you guys have your notes, you can start your notes, and I'm going to read you something. It says, genuine biblical friendship will transform your life. It'll ignite your faith, and I pray that each one of us would like to experience that kind of connection. Sometimes we feel disconnected and unseen by others. Maybe that's you. We lack true friendships. As a result, we feel disconnected from the church, our family, really. And in fact, some Sundays, church attendees arrive alone, worship alone, and sadly, leave alone. I hope that's not you. Or maybe you're a new believer. And you're not even sure how this church thing works, much less biblical friendship. The question remains is, do you see the importance of biblical friendship? Perhaps you're thinking, well, I've got plenty of friends, and they meet my needs, and I'm good. I'm happy. That's not a bad thing. But can we cultivate and nurture impactful relationships between sisters in the body of Christ? As followers of Jesus, it is imperative that we focus on developing characteristics that build in our lives that build biblical friendships with other believers. The key there is biblical, right? Real friends, meaning biblical friends, are not in a relationship for what they can get or what they get out of it, but they're not going to abandon you. They're not going to betray you. They're going to stick by you in difficult times. Biblical friends have no, even when they don't have a perceived benefit, in the midst of adversity, they will be stick with you. I love this. Biblical friends are those whose hands, feet, and mouthpiece demonstrate Christ's love to us. That's the message in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The word brother there really refers to just siblings or sisters in Christ. That's why it's important to understand really what the definition is. So without friends, particularly godly friends, I really would have floundered, not only in life, but in my walk with Christ. So I thank you. I thank you, my dear friends, for helping me grow in my faith and not just wanting my acceptance or to have fun with me, but caring truly about my soul. Studying friendship from God's perspective can help us be those friends. It can help us know what good godly friendship is supposed to look like, and by his grace, really bring him most glory. So we're going to take a look And really, who established friendship? Is it just something Christians made up? Is it just so we can have some kind of a group or a club or a cult? I would say emphatically, no. Throughout Scripture, we'll see that God desires a relationship with his people, with a deep friendship, and all those who have genuine same faith and belong to Jesus are part of the true church. So the Lord placed believers within a family of believers to grow. And I say family because that's how God sees it. And serve together. He encourages sincere friendship to help us grow and bring him most honor, really. It's amazing to me that God always is wanting our best, always. And he provides everything we need for life and godliness, so we don't have to guess what we need to do. We will see that even from the beginning, in Genesis 2, when God created Adam, he had an intimate friendship with him. And he also provided Eve, his companion. Was Eve a good biblical friend and vice versa? Was Adam? Well, that's a question you can ponder, but I would venture to say that we too fail our friends and lead them to places none of us should go, right? In James 2, he reminds us that of the phrase, a friend of God is found. And it says, and the scripture was fulfilled when Adam believed God, and he was counted to him as righteous, and he was called a friend of God. That amazes me, that the creator of the universe would desire a friendship with a sinful human being. It just blows my mind. But can we also attest to that in our lives? Is Jesus really our very best friend, just like that last song says? I hope so. I hope that's true for each one of us. If that's true, then he's already proven his love and faithfulness at the cross, right? So what should be our natural response? In Exodus 33, it says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. God repeatedly, if you go through scriptures, these are just a few, by the way. I love how personal God is. God understood Moses and his big limitations, and he chose to use him to save his people. He stayed with Moses his entire time, encouraging and directing, just like a good friend would. This shows the love and care of our Father and his love for his people. In Ecclesiastes 4, it says, I think you know this verse, it teaches us the importance of relationships, and it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Wow, we've all experienced that, right? Aren't you grateful for those friends who are there to pick you up either literally or figuratively? I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in this body, and it is such a blessing to watch. But the opposite is true, right? When you have no one, you feel alone, and you feel isolated, and you feel unseen. But God sees. In the next verse, we'll see how John clearly speaks to his friends and exhorts them to love one another. Why? Because love comes from God. And if we love God and he lives in us, his love is made complete in us. Wouldn't you love to feel that one day, wake up and say, oh, my love is complete. Yes, until you walk out of the bedroom, right? In 1 John 4, it says, I'm going to read you this verse because I love this verse. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. There we go again, that completeness. I feel like we could really stop here, really. Love comes from God, and if we know God and we appreciate what he has done in our life, how could we not love others? Well, Let's look at what Jesus said. And he's our perfect example. He tells us in John 15, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Imagine, Jesus calls us his friends. He's speaking to his apostles and disciples at this time, but he left us that in the New Testament as a reminder that as believers, we have access to Christ in that. So we talked about who established friendship. Let's talk about what the true definition of biblical friendship is. I haven't gotten to that yet. Nicole will have another one for you. She'll go into that a little deeper. So I'm going to talk about, first of all, what is the definition of worldly friendship? I pulled this right off the internet, so I'm going to go ahead and share that with you. You have it in your notes. It says, a relationship with someone who we feel connected to and who is there for us in some way. A connection with someone who has the same interests and accepts you unconditionally. Someone you trust and whose company you enjoy. Okay, that sounds pretty good. That sounds decent, right? This is what they define as a deep friendship. A deep friendship is one in which we feel seen and loved for exactly who we are. It's when we feel safe enough to talk about what's really on our minds and in our hearts. And when we trust that the things that make us quirky, unique, and different are the qualities our friend cherishes about us the most. All right. Let's go to another one. I read this on a Quorum. It's a direct quote, okay? It says, to me, the biggest difference between someone I consider a friend and someone I don't is availability. A friend is someone I can contact anytime and expect help and a quick reply. That's a trait almost all the people I consider friends have. I could pick up my phone and then send them a voice clip and expect that they will get back to me as soon as they can. There are people that you text and you won't even hear for days. I don't consider them my friends. All right, so in the eyes of the world, friendship is pretty much what? A self-centered concept, right? If you listen carefully, it's all about what others can do for me. As we will see, this is completely contrary to what Scripture teaches. Also, with the world's definition, people who are really just acquaintance often think of each other as friends because they share common interests or enjoy each other's company. While sharing common interests and enjoying each other's company are good things, at best, they can make for a shallow relationship. In contrast, the biblical definition of a friend, is a word called one who loves. Friend is defined as one who loves. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I ever fully understood that. I really didn't. I was like, whoa, thank you, Lord. It doesn't say one who is loved. There's a big difference there, right? That's interesting. Maybe that's why God put in Proverbs 26, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. So biblical friendship is a relationship between people, and I'm not sure, I think that's in your notes, so you have to underline this maybe. Yeah. Thank you for the notes too, Whitney and Lexi. They're beautiful. I'm going to get back to this, sorry. Biblical friendship is a relationship between people who are bound together by a common faith in Jesus Christ and work together to pursue him and his kingdom with intentionality and vulnerability. Companionship, which is characterized by sacrificial love, respect, commitment, truth, and it really is an essential part for God's plan for us. I'm going to read that again. Biblical friendship is a relationship between people who are bound together by a common faith in Jesus Christ and work together to pursue him and his kingdom with intentionality and vulnerability. Companionship, which is characterized by sacrificial love, respect, commitment, truth, and is an essential part of God's plan for us. That bound together means really united, attached, in essence, by the Holy Spirit. So rather than serving self, biblical friendship serves primarily to bring glory to God, who has brought us into a friendship with the Father. We wouldn't even have a relationship with God the Father without that. It is indispensable for a believer's growth and is an essential element of what God has created us for. To fail to recognize the benefit from the support, accountability, and unity of Christ Church means to miss out on life's deepest relationships and greatest blessings. I know that many of us have been blessed by people in our life. We've been blessed by friends who have encouraged us in our walk, who have encouraged us, picked us up when we were down, who have been there when no one else was. I venture to say that those people most honestly probably love Christ, or maybe are called to Christ. So friendship that is truly biblical must therefore begin with our friendship in Christ. I love Augustine's prayer where he says, there can be no true friendship unless those who cling to each other are welded together by you in that love which is spread throughout our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So I'm sure we all have ideas of the characteristics, and Nicole's going to go a little deeper with her notes, so I'm going to try to go through these quickly because I know I'm limited on time. But we have characteristics of what a friend is. Let's look at what Scripture says, and this is not a comprehensive list again. We'll just hit on a few. The study was actually challenging in that we are pretty much addressing, really what we're saying is, how to be like Christ, how to be a true believer, walk in a manner worthy of our calling. I could stop here and say, okay, read your Bible and do what it says. But I'm called to do this, so I'm going to share with you what God is teaching me in his great plan. But I'd like you to please, for each one of us, let's not focus on what we're looking for in a friend, but rather than how can I be a better biblical friend. So we've talked about what a biblical friend is. We talked about who established a friendship. Let's look at what are the characteristics of a biblical friend. Okay, as you take note, quickly through this list, identify ones maybe you need to meditate on or focus on. And I would venture to say we all, maybe just me, have a few. So in Ephesians 3, what are the characteristics? I'm going to read you this. I love this verse. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Notice, Paul says together with the Lord's holy people. Strong friendships are rooted in Christ. Again, we've talked about that and his great love. We must walk in the Spirit to experience God's strength and his love. In contrast, in Proverbs, it talks about one who has unreliable friends will soon come to ruin. But there's a friend who sticks close to a brother. A friend chosen wisely can be more loyal than a brother. And in Proverbs 12, he says, the righteous choose their friends carefully. Your mom probably told you that every day of your life. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. If you didn't get it those two times, it's reiterated in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I think we'll all agree on that. So then another characteristic, it says, be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. That's from Romans 12. The word devoted there means ardent, selfless dedication to nurture. Ardent, selfless dedication and to nurture. True friends are committed, loyal, eager, and active to honor each other by their words and their actions. How better than to follow Proverbs 27, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens his friend. And I don't mean stab him with a knife. Just kidding. The blessing of good friendship is to stimulate spiritual growth in each other. I can't even tell you. I've been in many growth groups over the years, 38 years maybe, I don't know. And I, every time, every week, I am so blessed by the women who have been in my life to encourage me, to pray for me, even now as I'm stumbling up here, to pray for me. God is faithful to use women and my husband, who's my best friend, to encourage us through prayer. So I'm very grateful that that iron sharpening iron is through God's word. In that, talking about growth groups, in Hebrews 10, we know this scripture. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word spur right there means to excite action or growth. So how can we do this without meeting together in fellowship? You know, I know that our elders and our church is really big on growth groups, but, you know, like the high school group, what a blessing it has been to my children over the years. The junior high group, the CIA, all the college group, the what's the one above that? SNL. You know, my girls have gone through all of that. And I encourage you, because as we're growing in our faith, no matter what age we are, we need fellowship. Without that fellowship, we will be like a leaf that just fails, that just withers. So I encourage that for you, for any of us. If you're not in a growth group, you will be blessed. So, sorry, I'm going to put that in there because I think it's important. I just know how I've been blessed. So how can we do that if we're not held accountable to God's word? If you go into church, you go out of church, and you have no other interaction, who knows what's going on in your heart and in your lives? So I encourage you on that. Sundays are really not enough. I'll keep going so I don't digress. In Proverbs 3, it says, do not withhold good from those who need it when you have the ability to help, right? You guys are great at this, by the way. We have to be aware and looking for opportunities to serve one another. They're all around us, right? They're all around us. This can't be one-sided, though. I hate to say that. It's not just about having others serve us. It's about how can we look for opportunities to serve others. But if you have a need, please share it. We want to serve you. In Proverbs 17, this goes into forgiving, right? This is another characteristic. The one who forgives an offense seeks love, but whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. I think we've all experienced that, right? This is similar to 1 Peter 4:8, which says, above all, keep your love one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins. The fact is, we must forgive because Jesus forgives us. It's difficult to maintain close relationship without grace, right? Forgiveness is, but we need repentance also. But true friendship requires both loving and caring for each other. So how do we do that? We encourage each other. It talks about it in 1 Thessalonians. Encourage one another. Build one another up. So who doesn't want encouragement? Anybody in here not want encouragement? Just as in Hebrews 10, this requires both people looking for opportunities to care for one another. And that's a blessing. And this brings unity in the body. And that's why this particular subject was chosen for today, right? So we need to urge brothers, we need to urge each other to admonish the undisciplined, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient toward all. That see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always, key here, pursue what is good for one another and for all. So individually and in a community, right? Let's hold each other to this truth that God gives us. So let's help the hurting and the discouraged, and maybe the younger sisters in Christ, and be patient and show grace. Sometimes this is not easy, right? Because we don't want to tell our friend something hard to hurt their feelings, and they might not really accept it well. Well, if you're speaking truth in love, just God's word, not our own personal opinions or our wisdom, it has to come from God's word. And we need to serve one another in humility. and seeking unity. We should want God's best for one another, just as God wants that for us. So again, in Ephesians 4, how do we do that? Completely humble and gentle. It's repeated. It's over and over again. You just keep hearing it. Be patient, bearing with one another. I felt like God was slapping me in the face with this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we must see ourselves clearly. That's what humility is, right? I think we should just do this. I think if we just did this, we might actually see a little bit of heaven here on earth, right? But Paul didn't stop there. We also have to be gentle. We have to be patient. We have to look for the best, and not the worst, and be at peace whenever possible, right? Speaking truth in love, again in Ephesians, with the goal of edifying one another towards maturity in Christ. It is difficult, but we must exhort in humility and appreciate, and those that are the exhortee must show grace and love, and those that are receiving the exhortation out of love must receive it well also. In James 5, we must confess our sins, because how do people know when you need help? How do they know when you're struggling in life? How do we know when you're just in the sin area and you can't get out of it? If you have not shared that with someone, how can God transform your life? How can people pray for you? We need to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I'll tell you, when I've needed the most prayer, I know who to go to. And I will go and say, please pray for me. Please pray for me because I need this. And I know that they will, and they do. And then I feel their prayers and God answering them. So in Galatians 5, it says, we're reminded that we have freedom, but we can't use that freedom to indulge in the flesh. We need to serve one another, again, humbly. Paul just keeps pounding it into the church. For this is, get this, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command, this one commandment. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others. Right? Love your neighbors as yourself. If we're honest, we take care of ourselves. We look out for ourselves, and we expect others basically to do the same. God sees that, and he says, okay, now humble yourself and love others that way. This is not natural, so we must be walking in the Spirit to accomplish this. The flesh is always selfish and contrary to godliness. In Colossians 3, he says, put on, like a coat, put on as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in one body. I love that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not many of you come up to me singing songs, but I really love those songs, by the way. Thank you for singing the last song. You know, I love that. But the scripture is packed. This scripture is so packed with godly wisdom. Paul's describing here the character and attitude God expects in view of his mercy, right? He has chosen us, and he saved us by his incomprehensible love. That's not something we can do in our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit again, and we need to yield to him. And by grace, the beautiful relationship with Christ and others, we can see when we're living the word. It's just living the word. So, Galatians 5, you know this one. You know the fruits of the Spirit. We've heard this list, and maybe we've even memorized it. It's very parallel to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, which says, love is patient, it's kind, it's not envious, it does not brag, it's not puffed up, it's not rude, it's not self-serving, it's not easily angered or resentful, it is not glad about injustice, it rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Oh my goodness. I'm not sure about you, but I feel like a complete failure when I read this. I say, and I believe, I truly believe, until I read this, right? Thank the Lord that he isn't finished with me yet. I am so comforted by Philippians 1:6, which reminds me that he will complete his work. He's not finished. He started that work. He's going to complete it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes a lifetime, but as we choose to obey God's word and with the help of the Holy Spirit and biblically minded friends, God can mold us into the image of Christ. Worldly friends don't understand this concept. And again, we see that we must above all love each other deeply. And the key word there is deeply. Not just, hi, how you doing? Oh, good to see you. How was your this? I know I've been guilty of that, right? Well, maybe we all have. To get deeper. I love the friends that say to me, so how are you doing? What is God teaching you right now? I love that. I love that because it's like makes me stop to think, what is God teaching me right now? Am I just kind of going about my day, doing what I do, maybe even serving, maybe even actively participating in many things, but never really thinking about where my heart is at? It's all motivated by love out of God. So we need to be faithful stewards of God's grace, really. So when we mess up, and we'll mess up, what then? We must choose to show grace and forgive and serve others with the gifts that God's entrusted to us. We all have a gift. Every one of us has a gift. So how are you utilizing your gifts to build up the body and bring glory to God? I'm going to leave you with the final verse. I still have one part, but this final one, this final characteristic, I know you all know it. Philippians 2:3-5. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of us should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than ourselves. Each of you should be concerned not only about our own interest, but about the interest of others as well. We should have the same attitude toward one another that Jesus had. And let me finish that for you. Who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Have we ever done that? How many of us can say that we put others first in our thoughts, our actions, even to the point of death, right? Again, it's a choice. And by now you might be thinking, oh, man, that sounds too hard. So we'll go into why we need to do this, right? If that didn't convince you, I'm going to quickly go through these. I don't remember how much time I have, but I'm going to go quickly go through this because Jesus commands that we might bear fruit. So your thing there is bear fruit. In John 15 again, he says, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. Wow. And the first part of that, we've read that before. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And in Mark 12, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. We talked about this, all right. He doesn't want burnt sacrifices. And by that, he means he doesn't just want us to work for him. He doesn't want us to sacrifice things for him. He wants us to love him with our life. So as a church, think about it. A church without love will die. Correct doctrine and hard work are not alone, are never enough. The second one is because we can fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians and Job, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. The third reason is because Jesus asks us to follow his example, and we will receive blessings. Wow, who doesn't want blessings? I won't read the whole thing, but now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash each other's feet. He set the example. And he tells you, you are no greater than your master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The fourth reason is because God will not forget the love you have shown his people. That one really stood out to me. God sees. He says, for God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name. And having served and continuing to serve the saints, that should be enough right there for us. God sees. He'll not forget it. And God keeps his promises. I love that. Another reason is because the biblical friendship refreshes the soul. I know some of you, maybe I haven't done it that often, but I know some of you like going maybe to a spa or something and you feel, I feel so refreshed. Mine is kind of like being with my grandkids and being outside, but it refreshes the soul, right? You know, a generous person will prosper, but whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Who doesn't want to be refreshed? I love that. Refreshes the soul. Sometimes I feel very heavy and weighed down when I feel like I have bitterness in my heart or anger or just sin, right? Call it what it is, sin. But when I sit before the Lord and I can confess my sin or I can repent, I feel refreshed. When I'm around you guys, I feel refreshed. I can't tell you. It doesn't matter where you're at. I've been in other cities, in other states, in other countries, and in other continents. And not for the sake of saying, she's a world traveler. No. I've been in other churches, in other places around the world. And there is no better place for me than when I'm with believers. I have worshiped with them. I have prayed with them. And I don't even know them, but I feel like they're my best friend. Because we have that unity in Christ. It is such a blessing. There's nothing like that in the world. I just can't wait for heaven because I believe that I'll see all those people all over with you guys there. And what a joy that would be. I've been to many conferences and stuff. And when this group of women are in one room, like we did today, worshiping and praising God, it's just, to me, a slice of heaven. I love that. So thank you for that. Anyway, the last one, I don't know, maybe it's not the last. Yeah, it's the last one. Sorry about that. It's because biblical friendships make us wise. Who doesn't want to be wise? You know, in Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. I've gained so much wisdom from so many of you, and I truly appreciate it. All right, so to fight for biblical truth without a love for God and others is to miss the truth entirely. That's from BSF. So in summary, godly friends can provide us with support, accountability, encouragement to grow in our faith, and a sense of belonging. Assistance when we need help, wise counsel, a sounding board, a source of joy, a source of laughter. And with these friendships, they can help us thrive in our faith and bring us most glory to God. I believe that's why you're here today. I really do. And I thank you for taking your time to do that. You know, I wish I could go through these next pages, but I'm going to leave them with you. There's so many in the scriptures. God leaves us with friendships in the scriptures that are just amazing. I'd like to highlight just two. I'm not going to go over them. Or maybe two or three. You know, Ruth and Naomi. You know the story. You know the story. Naomi left everything to be with Ruth. And Ruth's God became her God because she trusted in her friend, her mother-in-law. What a blessing that was. David and Jonathan. Okay, real quick. I wish I could have just taught on David and Jonathan. You probably know the story. But David and Jonathan had an intimacy and a friendship that I don't know other than Jesus and us can be compared. Because Jonathan had everything to gain by letting his dad, Saul, kill him. He would have been next in line for the throne. But he loved David, and he cared for David, and he protected David. That's true friendship. I encourage you to go through these. I left you the references on here. If you want to do this in your own time, as a quiet time, as a devotional, I really encourage you. Elijah and Elijah caring for one another. Jesus with the disciples washing their feet. Jesus with Mary, Martha, Lazarus. You know, so many. So Nicole's going to go into how you can be a true biblical friend. And I think you'll be really encouraged and challenged by that. But I'm going to say it again. My encouragement to us is, instead of looking for a good biblical friend, let's try being one. And by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I just pray that God will use us and build us as a body of Valley Bible. Thank you for bearing with me in this lesson, and I pray that we can become better friends. If I don't know you, I'd like to come meet you today. So thank you for listening, and I pray that you're blessed today. You guys have discussion questions, so we're going to go over the next page. You should have some discussion questions. So at your table, we're going to do that right now. Correct, Linda? Yes. So look through your booklet, and I don't know how much time we have to do that. I'm sorry. I don't either, but just do it and have fun. Thank you.